In a shocking statement I read just yesterday, the Prime Minister of Britain is calling for a European superpower on a par with the United States. Now, before I read to you his incredible statement, I'd like to take you through a review of major prophecies that are even now shaping up what is to happen in a step-by-step sequence from now to the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, at least in general, and to show you where we are right now in Bible prophecy and where do we go from here. And before I even get to that, I want to mention that when I was driving down the road the other day, I heard that there was an interview with a man named Hal Lindsey. And Hal Lindsey on this radio interview had said that during the 1970s, I, Hal Lindsey, had predicted that there would come a United States of Europe. And I was called a false prophet. And I thought to myself, Hal, where did you hear that? Where did you get that idea? Because we were saying that in the 1950s. And my father was saying it in the latter part of World War II. In 1944. And the instant I got out of the Navy, behold, there were articles in the Plain Truth magazine almost every month talking about the coming resurrection of the ancient Roman Empire, the final resurrection in the heartland of Europe that would become like a United States of Europe. If you turn to Matthew 24 in your Bible, you will find that Jesus Christ is way ahead of me, that long ago he gave a sequence of events that are going to occur to lead toward the intervention of God in human affairs. And God is going to intervene in order to save all mankind physically and eventually in the millennium to save them spiritually. Jesus Christ did not come to save the world then. He is not trying to save the world now. God will not try to save the world spiritually from now until the time of the second coming of Christ, when Christ will begin to fulfill the second half of his seven-year ministry. Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "You see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." That has not happened yet. The original stones of the Herodian temple, some of them almost as large as half of that wall section over there, I have seen many a time, called the Wailing Wall on the west wall of what used to be the temple compound in Jerusalem. And even though the soldiers under Titus prized the upper stones loose and completely destroyed the temple and leveled it to where it was just so much rubble, they did not succeed in fulfilling what Jesus said, that there would come a time when there would not be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, Matthew 24 is dual, D-U-A-L. That is, it has a previous typical fulfillment and a later literal fulfillment. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" And that's like telling a group of your students walking down Wall Street, "Do you see all of this? Do you see all these big buildings? Do you see the Twin Trade Towers? Do you see these huge, big 100, 150-story buildings? I'm telling you, the time is going to come and there won't be one chunk of concrete left." And the disciples would say, "Well, when would a catastrophe of this size ever occur?" You're talking at a day and time when that was the most beautiful skyline in the world. That was one of the most fabulous, beautiful buildings in the world. It had huge columns and arches, Robinson's Bridge. It had just beautiful, gleaming marble facade. It was made of the finest materials. And it was so big that men, several of them, linking their hands, couldn't reach around one of the columns. And when they were in awe, because they were hill country folk from up in northern Galilee, about 90 miles north of Jerusalem, and they said, "Look at these magnificent buildings." They were just commenting as a tourist might. And Jesus said the time is going to come when not one stone will be left atop another. Now that's talking about a gigantic calamity. So they ask him privately, "What will be the sign of the end of the age?" The Greek word aeon or cosmos, either one is used differently for world, does not mean the end of the world, meaning the destruction of the planet. It means the end of civilization as we know it, the end of an age, the end of an era. When shall these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world or the end of the age? All right, let's just answer the question. Let Jesus himself answer it. First and foremost, take heed that no man deceive you. Why? Does it ever occur to you that many people will use prophecy as nothing more than a gimmick? Have there been people that have jumped on the prophecy bandwagon in the last 20 years? In the 40s, 50s, and 60s, my father and I became full-time on the radio in 1957, were the only people talking about prophecy. We were the only ones talking about a coming United States of Europe, the only ones talking about the resurrection of the old Roman Empire, about the beast power, where it would be, about a great religious leader, a false religious leader, who would be in collusion with the beast power, the woman who sits on the beast, defining all of this, wading through the book of Revelation, wading through Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, time and time again on the radio. I remember coming with my children and my wife in our old Dodge station wagon in the 1950s, driving all the way from Pasadena, California to Big Sandy, Texas. I could hear my own voice 3 and 4 and 5 times a night, every night of the week, driving across West Texas and over here. I could tune into stations all over, not only Mexico, but KBOO up in Oklahoma City, KRLD over here in Dallas, Texas, WBAP when it was 50,000 and shared with KRLD, the two 570 and 820, and switched back and forth, and I've been in their offices. And hearing those very same prophecies repeated time and time again. Think about it for a minute. There are those who are Sunday keepers who believe in the immortality of the soul, the rapture, as some of them pronounce it, all the accoutrements of Protestantism and of sun worship, and who have grabbed on to prophecy as a gimmick, and who are now chortling that they were called false prophets back in the 1970s when they said a United States of Europe would arise. I find that absolutely fascinating. Now Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Why would he say that first? Why wouldn't he get right to the point about the military destruction of the temple? Why wouldn't he talk about the sign of his coming? Because he said there are going to be people jumping on the prophecy bandwagon. Isn't that what is implied here? That people are going to deceive you. Deceive you about what? About these things and about the sign of his coming. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ. And that is the emphasis. There, every now and then, 1 out of 10,000 of them will say, I'm the Christ. But that's like, who was it? You know, the Bhagwan. Remember him with a Rolls Royce for every day of the month? A wonderful name for that kind of a charlatan, Bhagwan, like the bag man. And in his bag he had all the millions that people had given him. And then there was this character from Korea that actually claimed to be Jesus Christ, the Moonies, you know, Sun Myung Moon. And if people think Jesus Christ is a Korean, they are just as crazy as a jackrabbit. Anyway, he finally was ousted from the United States. The little kids standing out here in the corner selling Tyler Roses, you know, they were giving their money to, they were Moonies. You knew that, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Youngsters were taken in by all of that. All right. Did it happen? Are there people who are using the name of Jesus Christ and deceiving many? Now, just be logical for a minute. How many of them are there? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. How many of them are right? Only one. Do all the others believe they are wrong? No. Do people ever enter into church that says, we're second best, so we try harder? No. Do people go with their Bibles into a church that says, false church? No. So every one of them thinks they're right. Or at least, let's say this. Let's say some of their followers do. It's awfully hard for me when I happen to catch some of these frauds, fake charlatans, and false preachers on television to think the guy is sincere. I'm real sorry, but when he's talking about a 36-foot Jesus to talk to him, I just know immediately he's a rotten liar. And it's just too bad that that is the only profession in the world, because they claim to be dealing with metaphysical things and with things you can't see, can't hear, can't touch, and you can't get a letter in return. You don't have an email for heaven. And so there's no way to prove it one way or the other, whether he talked to the Lord yesterday. They get away with it. And that's pitiful. They shall deceive many, and the many are deceived. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. World War I was not prophesied. The Hundred Years' War was not prophesied. The Crimean War was not prophesied. The war between Texas and Mexico, and when Zachary Taylor became president and inherited a war with Mexico, and when we landed at Veracruz and marched on Mexico City, that was not prophesied. The American Civil War was not prophesied. Dozens of wars around the world were not prophesied. World War I, World War II were not prophesied. There may be some vague reference to World War II found in the wicked man who was Antiochus Epiphanes in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, but specifically it is not prophesied. But wars and rumors of wars are prophesied. That's a very general term. Now, what is the latest rumor of war? Well, all of you know that we have given advance notice to Saddam Hussein, which allows him to get really well prepared. And that makes no sense at all to me. It's an attempt to try to get some kind of a coalition, to try to find some justification in the non-existent, utterly irrelevant world public opinion. World public opinion doesn't matter to a superpower, but unfortunately it does to the United States. So he will be ready. Now, finally, Britain is also saying, as I will read you at the conclusion of this, that they will stand with the United States in the event of an attack against Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Germany, France, Belgium, Holland, Spain, Italy, Turkey, it's a member of the NATO, but not necessarily a member of Europe. None of them will go along with it. Turkey may allow us to use the bases that we have there, but probably quite reluctantly. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it fascinating for those of you who have read Europe and America in Prophecy or my father's booklet years ago, The United States in Prophecy, United States and Britain Commonwealth in Prophecy, British Commonwealth, that you know who Jacob is, and you know who Ishmael is, you know who Esau is. And isn't it amazing that these two brother nations are standing together against the whole world? Britain and America standing together against all the world public opinion of Europe, Asia, Central and South America, Africa, everywhere. Britain and America standing together. Isn't that fascinating? Now, I want to deviate into something here that I have covered before. I want you to pay close attention. Maybe I can make a few commentaries as I go along. Because I researched all of this a long, long time ago. And I want to share with you some of those things that came out when I was yet a young man, barely out of the Navy, in the early 1950s. And maybe you will find out where Hal Lindsey got some of what he's talking about. Quote from The Plain Truth, June 1952. I had been out of the Navy for about a month. The ten horns in the 17th chapter of Revelation will be the revival of the beast, the Roman Empire, out of the bottomless pit by a, quote, United States of Europe, or federation of 10 European nations within the bounds of the old Roman Empire. The bounds of the old Roman Empire includes Eastern Europe, doesn't it? The Plain Truth, September 1952. I had just started in Ambassador College. We were about to go up to Siegler Springs for the Feast of Tabernacles. Article, The Beast is Rising Up, right on page one, written from Paris, France, probably by my brother. Quote, while the eyes of the world are focused solely on the danger of communism, America is completely overlooking the greatest danger the world has ever known, a new power to rise up in Europe, a combination of 10 nations that will eventually crush Western civilization. September 1953, The Plain Truth, quote, this, and that is riots that had occurred in East Germany, is the beginning of an East German revolt against Red Tyranny. Czechoslovakia, Poland, and other conquered nations behind the Iron Curtain have witnessed similar uprisings in recent weeks. It will take time, but Russia is going to lose out in some of these countries. That was the very beginning of the Cold War. And Russia did not lose out in those countries until 1989. But that statement was made in September of 1953. The Plain Truth, November 1954, page 2. And now, a short 9 years later, this is after Churchill had said the Western Allies should ensure that all of German industry capable of producing arms be eliminated. Behold, the spectacle of Washington and London making every possible diplomatic effort backed by American dollars to do two things. One, create a United States of Europe, and two, rearm Germany. There is only one nation that possesses the industry, the energy, the purpose, and the power to provide leadership within the new European Empire, and that is Germany. And once they rise to leadership within a new united European Empire, once its great preponderant military force is created and united under German militarism, as it inevitably would be, it would be the height of folly to suppose that they would accept any further dominance from Britain or America. End quote. The Plain Truth, November 1954, page 7. Words comes from the College of Cardinals at the possibility of the new Pope being chosen, when that becomes a necessity, from the ranks other than Italian is not too remote. The next Pope could be the man who will unite Europe. When did Wojtyla accede to the so-called Holy See? About 1978. That was written in 1954. Wojtyla is a Pole. Not an Italian. First time in hundreds of years that had occurred. Was he used to unite Europe? Did he pry Poland loose from the iron grip of the Soviet Union? Absolutely. An incredible, remarkable statement written in black and white, published to hundreds of thousands of people long before the event took place. The Plain Truth, February 1955, page 1. News analysts the world over are frankly worried about what they see taking place in Germany. The Allied powers are spending billions of dollars to bring about the German dream of centuries, a united Europe with Germany at its head. That is what the Kaiser wanted. That is exactly what Hitler killed millions for. And that is exactly what your tax dollars are bringing. End of quote. The Plain Truth, February 1962, page 5. On the World Tomorrow program and in the pages of The Plain Truth, we have been shouting to a heedless world for many years this was going to occur. It would come about as an economic force, bringing unprecedented prosperity to Europe, but also it is to become a political and military combine, a gigantic third power bloc in the world, which will include more population, greater manpower, and possibly even greater military resources than either the United States or Russia. When this giant combine, a United States of Europe, finally emerges as such before a startled and dumbfounded world, it will last only a very short time. It will fight Jesus Christ at his second coming. 1962, that article. The Plain Truth in March the following month, 1962, quote, "Fascism in Europe is about to be reborn in respectable business attire, and the Treaty of Rome," and that was when it was ratified, "will finally be implemented to its fullest extent. The dream of a holy Roman Empire returning to power to dominate and direct the so-called forces of Christian mankind to the Western world is not dead, but stalks the antechambers of every national capital of continental Western Europe. In the determination of the leaders in the common market nations to restore the Holy Roman Empire with all that that means," from the Northwest Technocrat, volume 25, number 205. "United within ancient boundaries of the Holy Roman Empire," 1962. What were the boundaries of the old Holy Roman Empire? All of Eastern Europe. And that includes Czechoslovakia, Poland, East Germany, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, doesn't it? Included East Germany, which then, of course, was divided and partitioned and under Soviet domination. "United by the common spiritual bond of universal Catholicism, united in a burgeoning and booming industrial economy that dominates today's world, united geographically in the most productive and industrial complex on earth, at least 10 nations of modern Europe will march onto the scene of world history as the greatest single human force ever seen by man. This united Europe will form a non-aggression pact or political alignment of some sort with the Soviet East." Isn't it absolutely dumbfounding that the possibility of Russia being a member of NATO has come to pass. From the pulpit in Big Sandy before 8,000 people in the mid-1950s, I said, "You will live to see the day when the United States is once again allied with Russia against a common foe." How could I have known that? Wait and see. Look at Daniel 11, 40 to 45, of tidings out of the east and out of the north, and how when the beast power comes into Palestine, that this northern power, feeling that a great grab has been made for all the oil reserves of the world, will come like an avalanche and a battle of Armageddon will occur. And because I knew way back when the key to biblical prophecy, and the key to biblical prophecy is the identity of the United States and the British Commonwealth, Northwestern Europe, in biblical history, biblical prophecy. When you know that, you know all the rest of these things. Now, some of these people are trying to kind of ride on my father's and my coattails. After decades of us saying these things, they then borrow some of that information, but retain all of their Protestantism and the things that appeal to the sticky, smarmy sentimentalism of Protestantism, and become known as some kind of a great prophet who predicted a United States of Europe clear back in the 1970s. Let's go on to some more quotation. The Plain Truth, 1962, page 45. And how about the West, which has succored and supported the Germans so long? How about NATO, the string of other pacts which bind West Germany to the West? Dr. Mende, who was then the leader of the German Free Democratic Party, doesn't say so in so many words, but what he implies is clear. The West can go to the devil. Germany wants, one, reunification of East and West Germany, two, the recovery of the eastern territories lost after the war, three, security from being attacked from the east, and four, more trade. The Germans well realize that only the Russians can offer a united Germany. Interesting language, isn't it? The reunification of Germany is only possible through an agreement of some kind with Russia. When Mikhail Gorbachev came on the scene, I first saw him interviewed in Britain. I said to my wife, she's right there, she can tell you whether I said this or not, that that man was going to be absolutely pivotal and critical. He was going to do something with regard to Russia. Well, then he absolutely put in glasnost, which is openness, and perestroika, which is reconstruction. And he lifted the Iron Curtain, and he allowed the Russian people to look out, and he allowed the West to look in. And he was absolutely instrumental in causing the brutal heel of Soviet domination to be lifted off of East Germany and all of Eastern Europe. And I sensed that that would be so the minute I laid eyes on the man, because I knew that that kind of thing was happening. And sure enough, the Germans well realize that only Russia can offer a united Germany. The reunification of Germany is only possible through an agreement of some kind with Russia. May 1962, the plain truth. The Plain Truth, November 1962, forming is the great power in Europe we foretold years ago. The coming United States of Europe, foretold in these pages when the world scoffed. Maybe they scoffed at Hal Lindsey the other day. Or maybe they scoffed at him in the 1970s. Well, they scoffed at us in the 1950s. And Hal Lindsey might have been a boy in school at that time, I don't know. Same magazine on page 10, quote, "Just as certainly as we restore Western Europe to economic prosperity and then to military power, a successor to Hitler will emerge," that hasn't happened yet, "gain control of this power through a United States of Europe, which we, the U.S. government, are encouraging, and we shall then wake up too late to realize we restored our fascist enemy the power to destroy us. Battlefields are becoming economic, just as we said they would. The movement is forming toward complete political solidification." The Plain Truth, November 1962, page 21. Listen now to some of the most shocking news releases of recent times. Quote, "Only those deaf to the sound of history can fail to be excited by the French-German rapprochement and the steady movement toward the making of Europe. Historically, political union over so great a space could only come from conquest or the spread of common culture, where in modern times, Napoleon, Bismarck, Hitler and Stalin failed, reason and mutual necessity are succeeding. A European political union would mean little if the ultimate power of deciding whether it fights and dies is going to rest with the Americans. Same magazine, page 22. In a recent address at Harvard University, Professor Walter Hallstein, president of the European Economic Community, said, quote, "The market is highly political. He considered it the substructure for a hope for United States of Europe and said, I want to stress that it is political, not just that it tends toward a political goal," end of quote. The plain truth, January 1963. Daring new plans for monetary reform and economic planning are on the drawing boards. They will so inextricably mesh the economies of the six, and they were only six at that time, reports Time magazine, that they will clear the way for the final goal of a politically united Europe. I don't know if there are any quotes that I'm coming to talking about a common currency, but you know that that is already in place and has been in the works for years and finally was inaugurated about a year ago. And now, actually, the common currency is on the street, not just between the central banks. Also in the same magazine, January 1963, on page 29, so Germany, not atheistic communist Russia, is ultimately going to support an Arab Union against the Jews and against Israel, Britain, and America. This is what prophecy foretells. What is Germany supporting today? Palestinian state. All of Europe, except Britain, are absolutely taking the part of the Palestinians against Israel. The United States is kowtowing to them when the other day, because unfortunately, in taking out the top Hamas military leader, the Israelis also killed a lot of innocent civilians, which is very lamentable. No one can applaud that. On the other hand, they are a sovereign government, and they have been beleaguered and threatened with extermination in all their history. They were a nation that came out of the ashes of the Holocaust, and they have made sure all their little children remember, because they flock in there by the busload to the Yad Vashem. And when they get to the Yad Vashem, the little children in their white and blue uniforms and caps walk in, and they see a huge display of pictures as big as this wall behind me, of little children standing looking up at German jackbooted soldiers about to be loaded on to the railroad cars. They see mounds over the height of my head of gold fillings of teeth knocked out by the victims who were murdered, dragged out of the gas chambers, and then put in the crematoriums. They see actual lampshades made of human skin. They see piles of little baby shoes. They see mounds of bodies by the thousands and bulldozers shoving these emaciated arms and legs and skinny bodies into burial pits. They see hangings, garrottings, and assassinations by rifle and pistol actually taking place. And in one room almost as big as this floor, a map of Europe on black granite. And each one of the nations is separated by a piece of bronze. And a hole that has been drilled in the floor with pipes that come from underneath have perpetual flames burning in places all over Poland, Eastern Germany, Western Germany, all over Europe. And the names are Majdanek and Baden-Belsen and Auschwitz and Dachau and Buchenwald. And beneath that, 600,000, 1,200,000, 260,000, 170,000 are the figures of the human beings who were butchered and murdered in those camps. The little children don't just go once. They go and they go and they go until it is indelibly impressed upon them their nation's history, the background and the history of their race. In our schools here in Texas, I don't even know if they teach Texas history. I don't even know how much they teach about Goliad and about the Alamo anymore. I know that they don't teach national history in the United States as a general topic in the schools all the way from K through 6. They just don't. Our youngsters are not brought up knowing about our own heritage. But those people are never going to allow the up-and-coming generation to forget. Now, the plain truth, March 1963, a German strongman is the logical choice to ascend to the helm of a new politically united Europe. The same magazine on page 14, quoting Der Spiegel, was especially critical of the great number of former Nazis who were being wooed by Bonn to join government ranks. The West German regime defended its policy of permitting former top-ranking Nazis to become an integral part of the new German democracy. By the way, do you know when the Fragebogen was issued and people were denazified? 1947. Do you know who took over the program? The Germans. In 1947, the German government began denazifying themselves. Interesting. The plain truth, August 1963. The new Germany is the burgeoning giant of industry, the ultra-modern, snappy new military power of Europe, the political force and power of an emerging new empire. The plain facts of the common market, Germany's growing inroads into world trade, Germany's rising military might as the strongest continental partner in NATO, Germany's economic condition, Germany's lack of unemployment, and by the way, then they had a negative. In other words, they imported, and now they're paying for it. Back in the 60s, during what they called Wirtschaftswunder, there were people by the thousands begging for workers. There was zero unemployment in Germany. Everybody had a good job, and they were begging for outsiders. So they began importing Turks and even Middle Easterners, and following the Vietnam War, Vietnamese, and of course, Spaniards and other people from other nations around Europe. And now today, that is becoming a political football because the young skinheads, and this is especially true in eastern part of Germany, which is still quite poverty-stricken, and there aren't enough jobs to go around. Now the economic picture has reversed, and they are blaming a lot of the foreigners for taking jobs that should belong to Germans and saying, Ausländer, aus. And there have been an awful lot of brutal murders, even burning people, stabbing and killing people who are of a different race than the Germans. And once again, racism and all kinds of Nazi graffiti and the desecration of Jewish synagogues and graveyards is taking place in Germany today. Plain Truth, 1963, page 22. When you see a revived, militarized Germany at the head of a United States of Europe march into Palestine, then the abomination of desolation is beginning. The Plain Truth, December 1963. Article, The New Germany, Friend or Frankenstein Monster. It's a brand new, pulsating, glittering, glamour world of industry in Western Europe that is destined to change the course of your life. You would be amazed if you could see with your own eyes the new Germany. Only a few short years ago, in the recent memory of many of us, Germany was a beaten nation, cities in twisted, wasted rubble. Yet in just an amazing short time, West Germany now challenges the gigantic industrial power of the United States in most world markets. The Plain Truth, December 1963. So long as present German prosperity continues, the Nazi takeover will not be possible. What have I said? Decade after decade after decade is going to be one of the first things that will trigger the rise of despots, dictators, and strongmen. A global economic meltdown. A great tribulation that will make the one of the 1930s look like a Sunday picnic. What is happening in nations all over the world? Japan is in terrible economic trouble. Germany is in economic trouble. The United States is in hideous economic trouble. Hundreds of billions have been lost. Millions of people have lost their life savings as a result of a handful of people in top management levels in some of the biggest companies, not only the dot-com, but other big companies. And you all know, you've been aware of it, you know that even the government is getting into the act and trying to boost the economy by saying they're trying to get it through the Senate. And of course, you know, George Bush has said he'll veto it if they come along with the same kind of nonsense that the current regulations require, so that if you wanted to give someone who was an outstanding performer a raise, you can't do so unless you raise them all. Is that stupid or is that stupid? But that's what they've got built into the system. And you can't fire anybody because it goes through so many, you know, bureaucratic snarls before you can take any disciplinary action on someone who might be letting his guard down and allowing terrorists to do something that is horrible. There's no way to take care of the guy in this bureaucratic miasma of confusion that they've got written into the law. And so George Bush says, unless the version that he wants passed, which does away with this and lets people be either raised or fired based upon merit or demerit, which is the only logical thing to do in any capitalistic society, He's not going to pass it, even if the Senate tries to cram it down his throat. He's going to veto it. So we'll wait and see. But the point is that what I've said over these decades is beginning to shape up right now. The world is poised on a brink of an economic meltdown. When that occurs, guess what Americans are very concerned about? I just saw a survey this morning. I took a little bit of a part in it. It talked about whether government is, as a result of 9/11 and Homeland Security, intruding into your private life, and whether you are losing some of your privileges and your freedoms, and whether people are worried about government takeover and intrusion into the private sector. I think a combination of close to 80% said yes, they were quite concerned. And only a minority said they were not concerned that the government needed to do what it has to do, no matter what the cost. There are an awful lot of people in the United States that are beating the gong of the potential of martial law and worried about people in jackboots and M16s all over the place that are under the aegis of searching out and ferreting out sleepers and terrorists among us, going to absolutely abuse every one of our priceless freedoms and privileges in this country, and that we will be a nation that could go under martial law. I don't think we will. I don't think America is that kind of people. I think that they'd just throw out anyone who would try to do that. He wouldn't have a prayer of ever being reelected. It could last for a little while, but I even doubt that. But having said that, there are nations where in the heartbeat of the people themselves, they desire a martial kind of law. They desire hearing brass bands and the thump of jackboots going down the street. Their hearts beat to the tune of militarism. There are nations like that, and the leading nation like that in the world, and history has proven it, and the future will prove it, is Germany. They will welcome a strong man to restore order and to put the German people to work again. It's going to happen. I got to skip down because there's so many. I've got 54 of them. I don't have time to quote all of these right now. October 1964, Germany, a united Germany with her former territories restored, is ready to emerge as the strongest nation on earth at the head of a revitalized Europe. This power colossus is then going to deal a death blow to the United States and Britain. I've got page after page after page of quotations. The Plain Truth, August 68, October 68. 20th Century Watch Magazine, very first edition, summer 1979, written from our first office building up on the Loop in Tyler. Quote, Hitler imagined a thousand-year Reich with himself at the pinnacle of power and dreamed of a millennial reign of German supermen over the world, as if he applied these prophecies of a coming Messiah to himself. This new leader of a united Europe, who will probably be a German, will attempt to fulfill the very same dream, proclaiming himself a great leader over the other 10 kings. In today's terminology, they could be presidents, premiers, prime ministers, etc., and so wield power over a 10-nation combine, which will be the greatest power bloc the world has ever seen. 20th Century Watch, winter 1984. The cover story pictured Berlin Wall with the East German border guards. And lead article, Will Germany reunite? I wrote, quote, a West German official recently said, I get mad when Americans and others dismiss it, meaning German reunification, as an impossible dream, said a 42-year-old engineer in Munich. Why can't we be like others, proud of who we are, without everyone calling it new German nationalism? On page 29, I wrote, quote, there may be no such thing as the remotest dream in the mind of a living German, that was in 1984, that a reunited Germany at the head of a future United States of Europe could ever conquer the United States of America. But even as many Germans understand, the current world situation is not the last chapter, either in European history or in American history. The future will too soon be upon us. 20th Century Watch, July-August 1988, undercover story, Superpowers in Decline, How Glasnost and Perestroika Presage a United States of Europe. I wrote, today Eastern Europe is in ferment. For decades, I've been proclaiming the eventual creation of a United States of Europe, specifically that several Eastern European countries would eventually come out from behind the Iron Curtain and join this new supranational power bloc. 1988. It was 1998. 90 and along in there. It was only one more year, I beg your pardon, after I wrote that. Get my decade skewed there. It was only a year later that that actually happened. And that surprised everybody. I have begun time after time after time in some of my personal appearance campaigns with a statement, the CIA did not know. The FBI did not know. Naval Intelligence did not know. The White House didn't know. The FBI didn't know. The Situation Room in the White House didn't know. National Security Advisor didn't know. But I did. That Eastern Europe was coming out from behind the communist bloc and was going to be a part of a united Europe. Now, what I just said is the truth. It happened that way. None of those agencies knew. They were all caught with their pants down. Not a one of them understood what was going to happen. It was a total surprise to all of them. How is it that one evangelist in the United States of America was the only person on the face of the good green earth to say exactly what was going to happen at that time, and it happened? And the media and no one else will admit it or acknowledge it. It's left to me to run the risk of having people accuse me of blowing my own horn and tooting my own trumpet to remind people of what I said and wrote. And other interlopers may come in and try to take credit for claiming that they said a United States of Europe was going to come along in the 1970s, but I've got the absolute documented proof that we were saying it from the 1950s. Now, when the Berlin Wall came down, I had one member of the entire national media give me a telephone call from the Houston Chronicle and said, "Didn't you used to say something like this was going to happen?" He wrote a little article and people promptly forgot that. All right. Sermon transcript, Charleston, South Carolina, May 16, 1987. Some understand that Adolf Hitler was trying to put together the dream of German geopoliticians like Haushofer and Mackinder to create in the heartland of Europe a United States of Europe, a vast trading combine which would embody all those industrial, inventive people from the Urals to the Atlantic, the Poles, the Czechs, the Germans, and East Germany. Adolf Hitler was nothing more than a weak revival of a prophesied seven resurrections of the Roman Empire, which was predicted to exist until the time of the second coming of Christ. 10 kings are going to fight Christ at his coming. Final quote, sermon transcript, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, June 18, 1988. My son reminded me that when he was a little boy, right in the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis, I was saying before many live audiences and repeatedly on television and radio to millions that the Soviet Union and the United States would not go to war. How could I have known that in 63, 64, 65? How could I have known that in 1958? How could I have been saying back in those years that a United States of Europe is going to become a supergiant, a third power bloc in the world, that it will include major Eastern European nations? Now, let me go to what I read just yesterday on one of the major news sources on the internet. Tony Blair, who is, of course, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, is now urging that a great superpower be formed in Europe. You're hearing quotations that go all the way over the decades from the 1950s until right now. And now you're going to hear that in the last few days, the Prime Minister of Britain has said thus, "Europe needs to stop complaining about the United States and instead pool its military resources to become a superpower on par with America." Quote, end quote. Tony Blair, Prime Minister of Great Britain. In a wide-ranging interview published in this month's issue of the political magazine Prospect, Blair said there was a certain scratchiness in European Union's relationship with the United States, an apparent reference to countries including France and Germany that have expressed concern at U.S. talk about overthrowing Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. Truly, prophecy marches on, and prophecy is being fulfilled. When you find perhaps the second most important leader on the face of the earth, Tony Blair of Great Britain, calling for a superpower on a par with the United States. Break that down and understand what he's saying. Europe should produce the same kind of smart bombs, stealth aircraft, guided missiles, and have an inventory of them. It should have the same kind of guided missile technology, the same as the F-117, the same as the U-2, the B-2 rather, and the various stealth bombers that the United States has. It should become a superpower, and the reason we are a superpower is because of that military technology that has been applied in the Gulf War and has been applied in Kosovo, and of course has been applied in Afghanistan and will yet be applied tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, but soon in Iraq. Now, what will Iraq do when we attack? Everybody in this audience understands that the next thing they will do is attack Israel. And no one knows where that will go from there. No one knows whether that will lead to a nuclear exchange. But the spectacle of the gassing of Jews. Do you know that every Israeli family has gas masks for every person in the home? You know that, don't you? You remember that during the Gulf War, they issued gas masks, and that the one lady actually suffocated trying to put hers on. Remember that story? You and I don't have gas masks. I don't think any of you do. We don't live in a climate where almost at any moment a Katyusha rocket could land in our backyard or right through our roof. But they do. And if that kind of thing happens and a wider war results in a nuclear exchange, then watch for Europe to intervene. Now, very quickly, here is what is probably going to happen and probably in the sequence of events. A global economic meltdown is going to trigger martial law, the rise of dictators and strongmen to restore order. The creation of the final 10 is going to be the result of a destruction, an interruption, a disintegration of the 15 or so nations that are vying for a united Europe economically, and eventually there will be 10 major powers. Now, a king could have rulership over more than one ethnic group. So whether or not it means nations, but leaders, the Bible says 10 kings. Is it possible that since there are pretenders to the thrones in many European nations, in Italy, in Germany, in Hungary, in Bulgaria, in Romania, there is, of course, a queen on the throne in Holland, in Norway, and also in England. And some of the nations, and all of them, by the way, are pretty much interrelated. And by the way, they're also Jewish, mostly. Will the Habsburgs come to power in Germany? I don't know. Will it be a literal king who will be an autocrat that will have complete and total power? I don't know. Maybe it will be a prime minister, a president, a premier, a president, a whatever. Don't know. But the Bible portrays them as a king. The Pope in Rome, probably not this one, but probably the next one. And by the way, there is the potential of a Jewish Pope next time. There's also the potential of a black African Pope. And there is the potential of Ratzinger, who is the leading German cardinal, of a German Pope. Now, Pope John Paul is on his last legs. There's been a lot of speculation even a year ago about whether or not he would either resign or perish. And don't think the College of Cardinals are not vying and struggling and juggling and playing all kind of politics to see who gets to be the next pope in Rome, because they are. Now, the pope in Rome will lend his good offices to the creation of a united Europe. And eventually he is going to go to Jerusalem. But he will not go unless there is a huge military force to protect him, which will come like an avalanche, according to Daniel 11, 40 to 45, and occupy Palestine. The creation of a superpower in Europe is seen by Tony Blair as a way to deflect criticism away from Britain and the United States. The reason they are criticizing us is because of our support for Israel. If you create a European superpower, that support will disappear. And the only way you're going to settle a problem in the Middle East, and everybody knows it, if you've got a lick of sense, is to have a third military power go in there and separate those two people and just not let them have access to each other anymore. That's what many people want to see happen. It's what many Jews want to see happen. It's what did happen from 1948 to 1956 to 1967, when the UN had a no-man's land right down the middle of the old and the new city of Jerusalem. It's what people yearn for. Don't think that Europe doesn't understand that, and a lot of European nations would like to see that very thing happen with a European rapid response force that would go in there. The United States of America would be reduced in an economic meltdown to third power status. And don't think race wars are not going to occur in our neighborhoods. Do not think that armed gangs roving around to take the diminishing means of survival away from their own neighbors are not going to take place. Do not think there will not be rape, murder, pillaging, and looting when law breaks down in the United States. And don't discount state, local, or county militias. Don't discount the people who already from time to time have taken up arms because they are into the conspiracy theories, and they do things like bombing the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, or they do things like going to retreats and running around in baggy camos with M16s playing war. And don't think some of those people are not going to be heard from if the entire infrastructure and the entire government is rendered virtually prostrate by an economic meltdown, unable to even pay their people. You know, when you had soldiers standing on the streets and sometimes taking money at gunpoint and other times begging passersby for money in Russia, including officers, because they couldn't pay their own military, think of what could happen in the United States if things like that come to pass. All organized preaching of the gospel is going to eventually be put down and out. And then the ministry of the two witnesses will begin once Jerusalem and Palestine is occupied. And Russia and China and Japan will respond to the beast power's grab of the world's oil reserves and occupation of the Middle East, and that will lead to the Battle of Armageddon. And the day of the Lord will come following the heavenly signs, and the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to take place shortly after that. We are living in the time of wars and rumors of wars. And it was only because my father before me and I following on have understood and proclaimed the national identity of the United States and the British Commonwealth of Nations that we have known all these things I just quoted to you. And it is the truth, and it has happened, and no one else proclaimed it. That happens to be a review of biblical prophecy.